So you've been open the whole pandemic?
I was actually closed for March and April until we had an idea of what this really looked like, what was going on. Most of my patients, like for the first bit, there was like a 50-50 of people who were like, I know I view you as essential to me, but I don't think that you are, like, they're fine. Just let me know when you decide to open. I'll still be there. And that was by and large. I had a few people who were like, you know, acupuncture isn't on. I lived for 30 years without acupuncture. I can wait until things calm down. And I understand, because if you have that type of energy coming in to getting work done for any work done for you, then it's not going to be as effective. And I completely understand that. So I like working on people when they want to be worked on, else you're going to be fighting that chi as well as the pathological chi that you're working on. Yeah. So I'm a Reiki master, and I tend to teach my students and even try to remind myself of this. I don't claim healer status, and I think that there's a very strong sense of ego that comes in with saying, I am a healer. I have patients tell me this all the time, and that's wonderful. It makes me feel good, but that's an ego stroke, and when I feel that, I'm like, no, you're healing yourself. I'm just bossing the chi around enough to where your body goes, oh, this is how I heal myself. Same thing with Reiki, same thing with Tui Na, all of the types of energetic work. Like, as soon as you start to claim authorship of the healing, then there weird energy happens. And
And I've even just had it where it's like, if I try too hard to convince someone to get acupuncture, it just doesn't work out very well. And so it's like it works out so much better when somebody comes to me and says, I want treatment. But if I go to someone else and say, you should get treatment, it just never works out very well.
Agreed.
So you've been seeing people in person and online?
In person and online.
What kind of things do you do online?
So what I usually do are half hour sessions where it's an herbal consult and like dietary therapy for a portion of it. Self-care, acupressure for points, doing that on video, like watching them locate the point and go, oh, is that tender there? Oh, yeah, that's tender there. And you see them wince. And you're like, okay. And you see placement. And you're like, okay, that's good enough. And ear seeds.
Oh, are people able to do their own ear seeds?
Ear seeds, it's a little tricky to do it on yourself, which we walk them through. And like one of the tricks in the beginning I found was like if you take a felt tip pen and mark the point, because you can do that really easily. And then that gives you a target to come in with the tweezer on yourself.
The tweezers, yeah.
So that worked for a lot of people.
Do you get those earseeds.com ear seeds?
I do get the earseeds.com.
With the Swarovski crystals?
Yeah, with the Swarovski crystals and stuff. So they were amazing. At they're a local San Diego company. They started out, they're PCOM grads, or the husband is. The wife is just into it. They're a small business. They worked through the pandemic. They had, you know, social distancing and everything in their office, which was great. They produce high quality. They're even plain ear seeds, really good quality. I noticed that they have since improved. They even have different skin tones available now.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. But yeah, it's like they have the regular mustard seeds or vicarious
seeds. Yeah, the regular
seeds,
vicarious
and
seeds.
And then they have like gold ones, and then they have the crystal ones.
Yeah.
I don't really do a lot of ear seeds, but I did have one person that basically like I inherited this patient from one of my coworkers. And so she came into her first treatment with me and she was like, oh, yeah, the other lady does this thing in my ear that helps me with my carb cravings. I'm like, I'm not sure that's a real thing, but I guess now I have to do. She's like, no, I press the thing and my carb cravings go away.
Yeah, and I've had really great effect for weight loss, for stress, and especially for my pain patients who are seeing me for like Tui Na and like especially neck and shoulder pain and migraines. It's amazing for it. There, so I will say that, and I had talked to Tova and Ellie about them because I liked the 3M product that I was getting from AccuZone at one point with the plain Vicaria seeds. Yeah. So I would get those as my plain ones, but then I would get the cute crystal ones for those that like that. And then at the start of COVID, then they came out and said, you know what? What we'll do is 30% for affiliate marketing. You linked yours, and we will show you how to affiliate market. So you could, for free, they were producing content for you and really, because they saw acupuncturists that they knew in New York, especially because they were in New York for a while. They went to PCOM New York, or he went to PCOM New York. And they had that, like, they were seeing people tanking and, you know, our patients need us. And not everybody, some acupuncturists are high risk people in and of themselves. So working on patients, even if the medicine is very helpful at improving immune systems and things like that, it's, you know, it's a risk people had to decide on whether or not they wanted to take. So at the very beginning, I'm going to say mid-March, they were like 30% affiliate level.
And they have a lot of stuff with like they have training programs.
Yeah,
like
they have an online they have a
ear seeds,
an awesome online training program. They also have kits, and that's what made it easy for me, because if you like a back pain patient or a sciatica, you know, just just order the back pain one. It has a chart of points on it. Oh, so they get an ear, it has points on there. And then what I would say is order that. When you get it in, call me. We'll set up your telemedicine session, and I can individualize it for you.
Oh, and
so
that's
not only – so that way you're not just using the standard points. It's like, okay, I know you're stressed and you have back problems. Mm-hmm. Let's do like 2 points for your stress and 3 points for your back.
And that's good, because it's not like you're ordering a bunch of product and keeping it in stock and selling it directly to your patients. You just gave them a link and they ordered it themselves.
Exactly. And then once a month you're getting an affiliate check for it. And, yeah. The funny thing is a lot of patients, like, I'm their guy. And I think that's a cool thing to think of. Their guy. Because, you know, you always need a guy. Or a gal. Whatever you want the gender to be is fine. But, you know, you got a bad back? I know a guy. Go see my guy.
Okay, so like, you're just the guy. You're not like the acupuncture guy. You're just
the guy. Yeah, I'm the guy. Like, I got this dude. Oh, yeah. Go and see the dude. Anything wrong with you? Stomach? The dude.
Yeah.
Eyes acting all weird, go see the dude. I mean, go see your doctor, but also go see the dude.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a lot of my patients call me Buddha and smiling because I'm
really
chubby. Well, it's because my business is smiling Buddha body work.
Yeah, no, and I think that's good.
And I'm chubby, so it works. And I'm like, okay, shaved head, chubby body. Yeah. I mean, technically Budai, but.
Hey, we have a podcast. I'm here with Gary from Smiling Buddha Body Work. And we're talking about starting out as a massage therapist and then transitioning to an acupuncture practice. We'll also probably talk about practicing during a pandemic and how using ear seeds can help with that, and social media and Instagram and some other stuff. So, Gary, thanks for being here. So, we've been talking to people about starting a practice and what it's like starting out with an acupuncture practice. And I think your way of doing it was maybe a little bit different and a little bit smarter, because you didn't just come into it cold as an acupuncturist. When you were in school, you started a massage practice and you got that going, and then you got your acupuncture license and you were able to kind of convert people over. Like, how did that go? How did that work?
Well, it started out – actually, that's how I got into acupuncture in general, because I started out studying massage and was like, oh, I'm going to do like the spa, chill, cool stuff. And then started studying Tui Na and studying like Gua Shan cupping and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay, no, this stuff works. Like, I had patients or clients at that point saying, oh, my blood sugar got better. Can you tell my friend? I'll tell my friends that you treat diabetes. I'm like, no. Yeah. I'm a massage therapist. You can tell them I can massage them. Like, that I don't treat anything. Like, I am a massage therapist, which was sad, because Tui Na is a rich part of what we do.
Yeah, I think people don't realize that it's – because I think we even had classes like that. Like, Bill Helm would teach classes of, like, here's Tui Na for spleen problems, or here's Tui Na for these internal Zong Fu patterns. And I feel like most people don't actually take that approach to Tui Na. They're still more like Tui Na for shoulder for sports injuries.
Yeah.
So was it just seeing the results that you wanted to get more into Chinese medicine? Or was it like, I'm tired of massage. I don't want to be doing this for the next 20 years. I need an alternative.
It wasn't the tired of it, so to speak. But I did see like, longevity and career, I am not a spring chicken, and in May I'll be 40. So I was like, maybe I should think about things that won't kill my thumbs and joints and stuff like that. So, but the major thing that I was seeing was scope of practice and patients wanting to tell people what I could do. And I wanted to have more training to come behind it. And I was interested in herbs and being able to suggest herbal solutions and supplements and things like that. So,
did you have a massage practice for quite a while before you?
No, it was did my like 18 months ish to get my license, mm-hmm. and then started my practice. And then as soon as I started my practice, like a month later was when I started at PCOM.
Oh, okay. And but, then it was still a couple years before you got your acupuncture.
Exactly. Because you have like roughly the 4 years. And I timed it to where it was about 4 years, maybe some with the trimester thing with PCOM. It was a little tricky, but it was about 4 years from start to finish ish.
Was it easy to get people to come in for massage?
Oh, yeah. Granted, I will say as a guy, there is that one thing. So as a LGBT male, as a gay male, like you have guys that come in just like women have to deal with to a degree. And they're like, and you're like, no, that's not what I do. Talking about Vice Squad, like we were joking about earlier on the behind the scenes footage to be released later. Mm-hmm. And trying to deal with that aspect and like that the social or like preconceived notion of what massage therapy is. So there's that, and then there's also – I will say the cool part of it is a lot of women that – and I still my practice is predominantly women.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of women don't always feel comfortable being treated by a woman because they feel like they're going to be judged. And this is what patients have told me. This isn't Gary putting this onto other people. And they like coming to a guy, but then they're worried about coming to a guy because they don't want a guy – so as a gay male, I feel that fun niche of I'm not one of the girls, but I'm also one of the girls.
It's like, you fill that gap pretty
exactly,
well.
Exactly. I have that little – that niche market. And that – honestly, that's a lot of my patients is they feel comfortable talking to me about especially women's health. That's one of the things I focus on treating. They can talk to me. As like they're like, I don't think you're judging me for this problem.
Yeah, because I have had I do get either massage clients or patients coming in. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't shave my legs today. I'm just like, yeah, neither did I. But but apparently that's something that people are self-conscious about, even just getting massage or acupuncture. Because I've always been kind of curious about that in terms of getting clientele coming in. Mm. Do you think that massage is easier to market than acupuncture?
I think it depends. What I had the difficulty with, I did not pay for any marketing except for my website. I did do Groupon with massage back in the day, and that did help me a lot.
Okay. Because I've heard some horror stories about
there are horror stories with it. The way that it worked for me was that it gave me like – foot traffic business. And depending on what location your office is, if you're not getting foot traffic to see a sign or a billboard or something like that to come into you, or if people aren't getting the foot traffic on web traffic, then how do they find you? Well, only by people that you know who have told, and eventually you're going to exhaust your friends. You need people outside of that circle. So that was like the big thing was Groupon gave me a few of those good referrers. But you are not going to convert them all. So if you do decide to use that as a method, as a way to get people in, just plan to not convert them. And that's fine. Just don't invest that mental energy connection to it and be like, okay, these are the people who are going to walk in and be like, eh, you're not for me. Great. That's awesome.
Yeah, because I heard when that kind of thing started out because I know that some people also had this attitude of I'm not necessarily trying to get everybody to come back, at least when you're first starting out. Sometimes it's just good that if you sell 100 Groupons, you get to see 100 people and it's good experience of seeing people. And you can't really rely on very many of those people becoming returning patients, but it does give you a lot of just upfront experience and some upfront cash flow. So it's good for that, even though the people who come in are kind of like deal whores. They just go from one deal to the next.
Yeah, it gave me a lot of foot traffic, basically, and experience and being able to talk to a lot of people and talk because – and that was like at first I was like, people were wanting Swedish deep tissue. And I was like, that's not what I do. And I was like, no, that gave me that confidence to be like, nope, I understand you bought an hour long session. An hour long session at Smiling Buddha is this.
Yeah.
This is what you get. And it gave me that confidence to be like, nope, I am the subject matter expert in the room right now. So let's treat it that way. And if you're coming in, what are you coming in for me to? What's your chief complaint? And setting up and integrating the dialogue that I was getting at PCOM working in the clinic there as an intern, it gave me that to be able to speak to my clients in the office as a massage therapist.
And that seems really good, because then when you're having that dialogue of what is your chief complaint, what problem are we addressing, that seems like it would make it a lot easier to convert those massage clients into acupuncture patients. And so how did that go for you? Was that really easy to pivot on that?
Yeah, it was really easy. The nice thing that I had was I had the massage business going, and then I could refer people to come see me as an intern at school to get acupuncture. So I'm like, okay, well, if you need to see me fewer times in the office, in my office for a massage, come see me for acupuncture in between so we can treat both and then can see what would be best for your needs. People who needed like weekly stuff and I didn't have sessions available as an intern, depending on what they needed, scheduling, yeah. Then I had acupuncturists I could refer out to and stuff like that. But, you know, it went really easily, honestly. And the weird part was that lag time between when you graduate as an intern and you're licensed as an acupuncturist, because you have your patients who want to be your patient. That I think that's the biggest downside with the way that licensing was working at the time in California, is not being able to take your exams while you're studying, to where when you graduate, you can go into business for yourself. And that's the hard part, I think.
Yeah. I graduated in April. I got my license in October, just because I graduated in April. I took the test in August. I got my results in September. And then it took them 30 days to actually get my license in the mail. So it was I was October.
Yeah.
And it pissed me off, because it was like, it took me 6 months to get my license. That was also my grace period on my student loan. Yeah. So it's like, I got my license at the same time I got my first student loan bill. Yeah. It's like, thanks, California.
Yeah. And that is the unfortunate thing with it. And that was the big thing with my patients, is a lot of them had become regular and liked getting both from me.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, I had them go see the interns there until I was licensed.
But that sounds like it made a really nice loop, that you had people coming to see you privately for massage, and then you were able to ease them into acupuncture at the school clinic. And after that, you were able to ease them back into your acupuncture practice. So it's not like you just graduated and were like, oh shit, I have to start a business now. Cause that's what I did.
Yeah.
And I do not recommend it. So I feel like you were like, I don't know if you planned ahead or what, but you did a lot smarter than I did.
I did not plan on doing acupuncture in the beginning, but once I decided to do acupuncture, then I was like, okay, if I'm doing this, then this is what needs to happen. I need to turn this into a business where I can make some money off of it and make ends meet, at least.
Are you like 50-50 massage and acupuncture, or have you converted most people into acupuncture?
The funny thing is, my sessions, I don't like to say they're like 50-50 or anything like that. I'd say, as far as what I actually do, I would say 90-10 acupuncture massage, really.
Like
90% acupuncture, 10% massage. But I don't have anybody that comes in and gets a full massage session anymore.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's what I was going to ask. Is it now like you combine them? You're coming in for a session and I'm going to give you what you need? Or
Bingo.
Is it like people say, I'm scheduling an acupuncture appointment versus I'm scheduling a massage appointment? It's more like they just come in.
In for a session.
Yep. Yeah. And you say, here's what you need.
Yep.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
The way I talk about it that way, I was like, oh, you know, if you go see the Chinese medicine hospital in Beijing, you can say, I want to go see the acupuncturist for this. I want to go see the Tui Na ward for this. I want to go see more of an herbalist for this. But you have the choice of all of them. And if you want to go spend all day and spend a little bit of like the $2 or whatever it is, in addition to stipend that, you know, you get for that or whatnot, you could see all in one day. And I'm like, unfortunately, I don't have all day to do all of them. I only have 1 hour.
Yeah.
So I tend to do a lot of cupping, gua sha, reiki, acu, and to not like whatever's going on, and try to integrate it to get the best results from it.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I was going to ask about is, I think you do a lot of things other than just acupuncture. You're doing Reiki, you're doing aromatherapy, you're doing, I guess, is crystal stuff kind of included in Reiki?
Yeah, I do, to a degree, like technically legit, like Usui Reiki, like trained Reiki, crystals aren't part of it. It's more of like an addition, like, and a lot of people do both. There's also some really awesome stuff from I'm going to forget his name.
Jeffrey Yuen?
Yuen, thank you. I was like, Yuen, there we go.
Yeah, yeah.
He has some Taoist elixir type stuff with gems, because gemstone therapy was a huge part of Chinese medicine for a long time before we came in and kind of like removed a lot of like the spiritual stuff out of it and stuff. So I've got some lecture notes from him that I take a look at, and that's how I look at things in gemstone colors based off of like five element colors. We're looking at, oh, green stones for wood element, blue stones for water, things like that.
But it's still like it's all integrated in one session.
Yeah.
So it's basically you're seeing people for a session, and then you have a bunch of things you can pull out from
different
bags. You have a large tool bag.
Exactly.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that depends on, I still treat based pulse and tongue. And it's like, okay, based off of what you've got going on and these chief complaints, this is the tool that I found to be most helpful.
Because I guess the way I was thinking about it is, I've been talking to some other people and they talk about like diversifying their income and doing different things. Some people do acupuncture and massage and that kind of fills in the holes, or some people do acupuncture and feng shui readings. But for you, I feel like it's not so much you're doing different things. It's just like you're doing a session and you have various tools. So it's not quite the same.
It's not quite the same diversification, that aspect. Granted, I also produce product and stuff like that. So I have people who are like, oh, my friend who lives out of state, I can buy your stuff and send it to them. So there's that, and gift certificates and things like that. But it wasn't really – COVID actually really got that going for me, actually. And that's one of the things, like, this year's actually been one of my bigger years, even with the 2 months almost off, was because of that kind of rethinking how I approach things and – setting up affiliate marketing, because now I have affiliate marketing with Dow Labs. I have affiliate marketing with earseeds.com, and I have my products and stuff like that that I make that people request, and they use at home, and they use it up for self-care and stuff like
that. Yeah, so it's still like you're diversifying streams of income. So it's when your brick and mortar hands-on work maybe went in a little bit of a decline, you had other things to fill in.
Exactly.
The gap, so.
I mean, I was driving around dropping off orders of my essential oil sprays and balms, and even running and picking up herbs for my patients who are like, you know, I had some stock at the office still, or I had, I knew that Vin Hua was open, the herbalist I usually go to. And I was like, okay, I can go pick up your stuff for you and bring it to you.
So you do acupuncture, massage, Reiki, aromatherapy. Do you like to wear a white lab coat and have people call you Dr. Gary?
I do not. Well, one, I'm not. I don't have the DAOM.
Oh, or I know. Yeah, you're like
the whatever alphabet soup afterwards. I'm just a licensed acupuncturist.
Yeah, you're like me. I just have the MSTOM.
Yeah.
But I just think that's kind of funny, because I feel like that's the direction that some people are trying to take the medicine, that we're trying to be – we're being integrative medicine. They want to use Western terminology. They want to act like Western doctors wearing a white lab coat and communicating with MDs. And I think especially our school is trying to take the medicine in that direction. And I'm just kind of like, you know, I feel like a lot of people come to acupuncturists because they don't like people in white lab coats.
There's – and I think – I had that thought. I understand both sides. And I think probably because I saw how it was working in China and seeing in Beijing for three – it was only 3 weeks, mind you. But like we went to the neuro – like we were in the neuro wing of the Beijing Acupuncture Hospital. And everybody's wearing lab coats. Even the interns are wearing lab coats. And the doctor, the Chinese medical doctor, is looking at an x-ray and telling you what is going on with an x-ray, which and even MRIs and CAT scans. So it's very integrated there. And I think our teachers have that training there where it's integrated and are bringing it here. We're the U.S. is the ones that are like, no, we want this kind of new agey woo-woo side of it.
We're dirty hippies.
Yeah. And I think it's part of that romanticization or what of the East.
Yeah.
And one of the things I talk about when I'm teaching Reiki and when I'm tutoring and stuff like that is the understanding of cultural appropriation in our medicine is huge. And especially I'm a cis white male, granted gay, so I get at least one little thing in there. But I have to acknowledge the fact that this is not the quote unquote medicine of my people. Like, this is not indigenous to my roots, so to speak. But a lot of the indigenous medicines of different cultures throughout the world have things like cupping and gua sha are part of traditional medicine in almost every culture. Like, it would have been part of our medicine in, you know, tribal Europe or whatnot, that they would have had some aspect. So I look at the understanding as going, no, I practice a medicine that I need to respect where it came from and understand the culture where it came from, but also understand that my patients are most people come to acupuncture. Well, I don't want to say most people. Like, you're saying, I don't want to say most people or some people.
Yeah.
A lot of my patients have come to me exasperated with what Western medicine. They come because a friend of theirs said, hey, I know you're dealing with this and you're not getting anywhere. Go see Gary. And that's really cool to have that. And honestly, most time of the year, I practice in polo shirt and shorts when it's warm enough. We're in San Diego. Yeah.
But I think that's kind of fun that it's like you kind of have this option. Like, there's this corny saying, your vibe attracts your tribe. And it's like, whatever vibe you put out, you'll have patients who are attracted to that. So I know some people that they like to wear a lab coat. They like to have their patients address them as doctor. And they like to be very westernized with it. And they have patients who are really into that and come to see them.
Yeah.
But you can also go the other direction and be kind of, I don't want to say new agey and hippie-ish, you can be more relaxed. You can be more casual. You can step outside of doing motor points and trigger points and bring in some of that traditional aspect.
Yeah.
And there are patients who will be attracted to that as well. So it's kind of whatever you choose to do, you'll find people who are into it.
Exactly. And I think for people, there's no one way to do this. And I think that's the main thing that I saw with working with studying what bit I did in Beijing actually helped me with that. My suggestion, especially for students watching this, go. If you can do one of the school trips, suck it up, work an extra, whatever you can do, go. And you get to see how it's approached, how you approach the medicine. We had lectures from our teachers' teachers.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to see that lineage of information. And then to see people go oh, we learned this in Deadman. And they're like, dead who?
Yeah.
And you're like, really? And they're like, yeah, we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I was like, but he's like, and Deadman is amazing.
Yeah.
And, all these sources that we look at here as Western acupuncturists going, oh, yeah. So it definitely kind of kept me from doing the, in Chinese medicine, this is how we do. In China, they do, not always.
Yeah.
So I was watching Chinese medicine dentistry. You can go get teeth pulled at the acupuncturist. Now, it's not like us. And I think this is bringing it back to the COVID conversation about owning up. Should I be practicing? Should I not be practicing? We need to be the healers and stuff like that. What I saw was they're practicing in a hospital. They have sterile situation. They can set up a more sterile situation than we can here. If your clinic is set up for that, awesome. If you have woo-woo comfy furniture and you can't sanitize things, you don't have a reason to be open dealing with it. And that was what I had to look at was like, okay, no, I have this, I have that. So like gemstones were a big part of what I would do while people were baking on the table with their heat lamp. I would put gemstones on them normally. But now I would have to sanitize those. Do these gemstones react with the sanitizing liquid?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Or is it going to shatter them? Or is it going to – so then I'm like, you know what? Let's just not do that right now.
Yeah. It's like we're not going to sanitize them in the full moon.
Exactly. You're definitely not going to – yeah. Full moon does not have a direct effect on COVID. Oh, God. So, yeah, that's – you know, so that shifted. And that was the main thing that it was 2 months of looking at my practice. And at the time, massage wasn't allowed in March and April, and even at the beginning of May. So that was an excuse for my patients to shift completely. So there, I had a few who were still like, well, I know you do that needle thing, Gary, but I much prefer the Tuinah. And I was like, well, if you want to see me, you can see me for this. And that helped me transition to the point where pre-COVID, I was probably like 80-20, and now it's more like 90-10.
So you said Groupon worked for you.
For massage. I don't know if I don't know if it would work as well for acupuncture. Yeah. And the main, unless you set it up to do as a package, and then you would need to make sure you had like an escrow and all this stuff.
Well, I guess I was going to say, what were some other things that worked or didn't work in terms of getting patients through the door?
I do word of mouth.
Yeah.
Do good work. Like, as don't suck. And that's the thing is, like, I don't know how many people, I'm not their first acupuncturist. Yeah. And they said they were seeing someone for something and it didn't get any better.
I'm trying to think. It's like you have some people, it's like they don't answer their phone. They're not very communicative. So it wasn't just something like that. It was just like their skills in an acupuncturist. Yeah. They were not able to treat this condition.
Yeah.
And so
they just, And the funny thing is, like, I have one of my patients who's Filipino-American. So he's like, I want to go see an Asian acupuncturist. Yeah. So he went to go see an Asian acupuncturist. And then he went to go see another Asian acupuncturist. And nothing was resolving. Came to see me. Resolved.
Nice.
And he's like, I don't understand why. And I'm like, I don't know either. And I think it's the same thing with our medicine. And like, I tell people, I think authenticity is one of the main reasons why. It's like I sit down and set the expectation with new patients. I suggest people to buy gift certificates for people they care about. Like if you like what I do for you, buy a gift certificate. I do packages. That's another thing. It's annoying to have that little escrow account type thing, but keep up with your bookwork. You know, you do good bookkeeping and then you'll be fine. And then you have people who will refer you and they do the sales for you.
Nice.
They tell you their friends what to expect. They say, this is how Gary does things. Yeah, you know, they've seen their friends come over with cup marks and go, oh, what is that? You know, what's going on with that? Oh yeah, I go see Gary for this. And
do you spend a lot of time on patient education, like explaining what you're doing while you're doing it?
Yes.
Yeah, because I feel like that's a big thing. It's like if you just say, okay, I'm going to do needles and you stick them in, then the patient doesn't know what's going on. But if you explain it, it's not only for their benefit and their comfort, but then it gives them something to tell their friends. And so if you explain how cupping works and what it does, then when their friends see those marks, they can say, oh, yeah, I went to see Gary. He showed me the cups. He said, this is what the suction is like. This is how it's working. It's applying suction. It's drawing blood into the area. It's pulling the layers of muscle and fascia apart. When they can say those things to their friends, that gives you a better – it's like they're doing your sales pitch for
exactly.
you.
And I find it tends to – I think – Chinese medicine, especially in to a Western audience, a primarily Western audience, and I would say a large proportion of my patients represent the area. I have Latin Americans, Filipino American, and Caucasian. And demystifying or defantasizing that and making it approachable is important. And I think that's the main thing with acupuncture. We may not always understand and trying to define what qi is to somebody. We could sit here and have a year-long podcast on what qi is and trying to define it to somebody because there's debate. And rather than do that, it's like, no, you know, I'm helping you heal yourself. I'm helping you make you more you. And sometimes you need a cheerleader. And actually, one of my patients called me. They're like, "You're my cheerleader." You know how you have a cheerleader to help cheer you? You cheer my chi, so you're my cheerleader. And I thought it was the dorkiest thing, but I was like, actually, I kind of like that. It's cute. And I kind of like the idea. It's like, no, that's kind of what we do. We kind of just say, come on, spleen and liver and kidney. You can do it. I know they're not taking good care of you at home, but you can do it. You can do the thing. And if you take that time and talk through patients, and self-care is huge, and they see that they're getting better. And if you have patients come in and they don't feel better, or at least for at least a week,
yeah,
after their first visit, or at least 3 days, and Dr. G or somebody at school had said, like, you can really affect the person's chi for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's their body's job to take the chi baton and run with it.
Yeah.
So if you can't get a good 3-day shift in that person, then you gave them a crappy treatment. And I think that's the main thing to own up to is like, did you have good results for me? Yeah, I felt great for 3 days. Cool.
So you never paid for any marketing stuff though, did you? No, I paid
for web design.
Yeah.
And I think that is key in the modern era. Actually, I used I have to remember a name. I'll pull it up for you.
But you had somebody design it for
you. I had somebody who actually studied at PCOM, though, and she is a web designer who studied acupuncture. So she understands what people want to look at, and she's very good at doing what she does.
Yeah, but it's like you hire a professional and just like, I'm going to go on Wix and make my own thing. You actually got somebody
who – I actually had somebody do it, and I've – now got to the point where I can go in and like change prices on things and do some like basic upkeep.
Yeah.
But it's still the same site. And I lucked out and had a friend who was finishing up their marketing project for graduating with a master's in marketing. So they needed something to market.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, hey, there's this. And like, oh, it's actually a research project because I'm going to have to look at this and that and the other. So it'll actually work well for them.
Oh, okay.
So my logo design was free. All of that was free. I mean, I took them out to dinner a few times. But you should plan on, I think, somewhere around $500 to $1,000 coming out, if not a little bit more. Have a decent logo drawn up. Have a decent website done, because I have – a handful of my patients found me online. The website had detailed information. It was accessible, and I was close by to their work.
And it's worth it to have something that looks nice. So that's kind of – that's the face of your business. So it's worth it to invest in that, to have something look nice.
Yeah. And if you think – like people are like, oh, I don't want to spend that much money on it. Like, spend how much money on your degree?
Yeah.
You don't want to spend $500 to $1,000 on a website?
Yeah.
That's – like nothing.
You've been doing Instagram stuff. Was that just a for fun thing, or is that a marketing
thing? So I did, especially for COVID, and that was a large push from the Ear Seeds that they had with their marketing thing with the affiliate program during the beginning of COVID. I do a once a week, just kind of like coffee talk or talk, whatever you want to call it. I call mine coffee talk because I grew up with Saturday Night Live. So it was so I do like for like a half hour to an hour, just like demystifying something in Chinese medicine, talking about like why bone broth is the cool it thing. And, you know, why if you decide to go to Vaughn's and get a roasted chicken, you save the carcass in the freezer and make a bone broth out of it later. Oh, it's that easy? Yes, it is that easy. Oh, okay. And sharing information on self-care and stuff like that. Like I did a gua sha demo. I do why the facial rollers are the cool thing that you see in the store, and you know.
No, and that sounds good, because it sounds like it's something that it brings a lot of value to the person watching it, that it's something educational. It's something that they can use at home. It's not just you're posting a picture of somebody with yin tong.
Yeah.
Or you're posting a picture of the sign on your front door. You're actually
posting, you're creating something that is giving value to the person consuming it. Have you seen that converting into patients coming through your door?
I've seen it converting into some of the, especially with the ear seed stuff, selling with that helped, especially during when I focused on that. It reminds people that they need to book with you, or it reminds people that they need to fuss at the person who they bought the gift certificate for.
Okay, yeah.
It's that little reminder, because I see a lot of my people, I would say, like the bell curve of patients that is almost everything in nature has a bell curve. The sweet spot in the middle is my every 2 week patients. That's what I found people are with their schedules willing to commit to, and where my price point is, I think, is where most people like. And then to the right, I have the once a monthers. And then to the left, I have the every weekers. The every weekers are the ones that pay your bills. But knowing that the majority of my business is that every 2 week, really, they're the ones that are kind of paying my bills. So understanding that market and going, okay, how do we get them to either be once a weekers if they can afford it, or if they can't, send their friend in who can also be an every 2 weeker. So then we have those.
Yeah. So I think this is something I was kind of talking about with Lindsay. I don't think my prepositions are right.
Previous discussion with Lindsay. This was a subject that you were broaching.
But we were talking about this before, where sometimes the social media isn't about bringing in brand new people. It's about strengthening your relationship with your existing clientele. It's about poking and prodding them to get them to come in, to come in more often, to see what other kind of services you have. And then now you're saying that it's also that it can encourage people to recommend their friends as well and kind of widen the network that way.
Because then they're going to see what they're – some people do look and see who are they interacting with. You can see people's likes. Yeah. The other piece of it is, especially with like Dow Labs and Linktree, that's actually one cool thing that a lot of people don't realize. Linktree, free.
Yeah.
And you can set up a link to, if you have an affiliate page, your ear seed, an herbal company, some people like whatever.
Just for those who don't know, Linktree is a service that where it's like on Instagram, in your Instagram bio, they only give you room for one website link. So Linktree is something that you set that as your website link, then it pops open, and then you can list as many links as you want. So you can link to your website, link to your YouTube page, link to your Facebook page, and have all that pop up from your Instagram bio. So that's a good thing to have.
It makes it a lot easier to kind of work with mobile. And that's where it's key, I will say, if you're spending the money to have somebody do your marketing and your website, unless you are a web designer, being able to design it to where it's friendly for desktop, mobile, you have to have mobile optimization.
Yeah, and that's why it's worth it to hire someone, because anybody who's an actual web designer should know how to do that. And that's like if you try to fudge that in yourself, it might not work. Yeah, so, but that's exactly. One of the things that's worth the money. Do you do anything with Yelp?
I have Yelp. I have a thing where I tell people to write up and like I ask people. That's the thing is – this is the weird thing as consumers that has happened with Yelp. We want to see that they have a Yelp page. We want to see that they have reviews. But we're not that worried about what they say. If that makes sense.
Yeah, because I've had some people say that it's like you want to get reviews and you want – it's not like people won't actually read the reviews. They'll just say – they'll just see that you have 50 reviews and that means enough to them. They're not going to go through and read those 50 reviews. Yeah. They're just going to say, oh, yeah, this person has 50 reviews. They must be okay.
And it's like if I were looking for a new restaurant – for me, restaurants are bigger for Yelp. Like I want to see how many people have had food poisoning when they come to your restaurant. But having it out there – is good if you're not wanting the Yelp aspect. Don't pay for it. Just don't pay for it.
So was it like you put up a nice picture and you had people give you reviews and that's all you did with it?
Yeah, that's all I did with it. I never paid for the Yelp site. Once you pay for it and then you decide to stop, that's almost everyone I have talked to is that's when it becomes a problem. And it just multiple streams, like so Google, activate it, have a Facebook page. The thing is keeping stuff active, and that's the one part I'm bad about sometimes, especially now that once I get busy, is logging in and at least posting something on there once every couple of weeks to keep everything active. And really, really, if you're trying to use Instagram or Facebook to drive business, that's like 2 to 5 posts per day that you're supposed to be doing of legitimate content. And it can, every once in a while, you do just need a picture of Yin Tong and relax. Random quote. Find your zen. Yeah, no. I like taking, like, people want to see what they, like, as far as, I guess, for advertising for yourself and pictures, don't make it about you. Like, if they're sitting on your table staring at your ceiling. They're not, they talk to you when they come in. They talk to you when they pay you. They talk to you when they book their next session. They're paying for the experience.
Yeah.
So they give them a look at what your room looks like. And this is what it, a picture of a model, or if you have a patient that you want to barter something with or what yeah. have you, you know, awesome. People sharing your stuff and volunteering to like be in selfies and stuff like that on the table. That's the cool part, is when you're posting stuff like that. And then humorous random stuff every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because making my own memes every once in a while, people really responded to that. And that threw me like way up on the search. Like I had like more likes on random stuff that I put Baby Yoda on than I did on like legitimate yeah. stuff.
Yeah. But then I'm wondering is like, does that really convert to patients coming in or?
No, it's still the same patients, but in my, at least in my opinion, I mean, it drives people to look at your stuff. And if you're, that's where it goes with that affiliate marketing side of things. If you're having multiple streams of income, then the more that people are looking at it, like I have a patient, quote unquote, that is ordering off my affiliate link for Dow Labs that I've never met before. But they liked one of my Instagram posts and they apparently use that link to set up their account. So every time they order whatever formula from Dow Labs.
Do you take insurance?
I do not.
Do you have any desire to take insurance?
Hell no. But, and this is the thing. I have lost business because I don't take insurance. So they went and went somewhere else. Yeah. Or because they were with TRICARE, they got insurance through government, like basically on base.
Yeah. TRICARE is like the military, yeah, healthcare, military the, healthcare or the veteran healthcare. Yeah.
Yeah. Which you can get in fairly easily as a provider as long as you have your national. No, I didn't want to, I had no drive to it because, and even what's happened with some of the insurance companies in California, American Specialty Health is handling them now. And we all know that Ash is the devil when it comes to paying out, because they tend to pay about $45 an hour. And if you were wanting to make $45 an hour, why not just sell your stuff on Groupon?
Yeah, that was kind of thing. And that's something I talked to with other people about, is maybe if you have that model where you're running multiple treatment rooms, you're seeing 4 to 6 patients at a time, then you can have a biller, accept insurance, and that might be worth it for that yeah. $40-$45 of treatment. But I think you and I, our style is we see one patient at a time and we just can't live off of that.
Yeah.
And it turns out there are people willing to pay cash.
Yeah.
It's not, it's, I think sometimes people, when they're going through school, they hear these scary stories about you have to take insurance, otherwise nobody is going to give you money. But it turns out there are a lot of people in yeah. the world who are willing to pay cash for yeah. your services. And yeah. you don't have to be scared about that.
Yeah. And I think I tell my patients how I would – I treat them how I would want my acupuncturist to treat me.
Yeah.
And if I had health insurance that covered it and it covered like 2 visits a month – by all means, go see them for your back pain. Go yeah. in and get your back pain treatment and stuff like that and come see me. I'm not going to take offense to that. Yeah. Why would I begrudge a colleague that chance of like that energy? Like, mm-hmm. I just think that's bad juju.
Oh, I feel like I'm running out of steam. Anything else we want to talk about?
I don't know.
Anything compelling in the acupuncture world?
I think the big thing that I tend to get asked a lot is that, like, what business model works. And then you and I were kind of talking about that. Like, should I treat multiple patients? Should I treat one-on-one? How should I treat? And I think that's – it's up to you. as a practitioner. I don't think there's no right or wrong way. And that's kind of what I like, treating one-on-one. But there is a finite amount of chi that I have per day to spend with one-on-one. Can I treat two patients at the same time? Yeah. And I may get to the point in the next 2 years where I'm like, you know what? Actually, I do want to do that at least 2-3 days a week, run 2 rooms, maybe run 3 rooms. It depends on how things go. Right now with COVID, I'm fine. Like I don't want to deal with more than that, especially because then I would have to hire someone on to help me switch out the rooms between. If you're running it solo, I think the main thing is to look at your budget and stuff like that and price things appropriately. And I'd say across the board, we tend not to charge. We either do one of two things. We don't charge enough for what we do, or we insult our colleagues who charge more than we do. And it's not that we actually couldn't charge more. We don't want to.
You're saying like, oh, you're a dirty capitalist. You're just selling out. You're just in it for the money.
Yeah.
I'm here trying to heal the world because I have a big heart and you're just in it for the money.
Yeah. And that's no, none of us went to acupuncture school to be broke and destitute. And I think that's the thing, is to acknowledge, no, your time is, you are generally speaking, when you're in a room, unless you're at like symposium or talking with another acupuncturist in a podcast, you are the subject matter expert in the room. So, setting realistic expectations for your patients. Otherwise, you're only going to see them when they hurt themselves. You're not going to see them for routine maintenance.
Yeah. And I think that's like when you're in school or you're just getting done with school or you're first starting out, that's kind of the step one of thinking about, what do you want your practice to look like? Because I feel like when you're in school, you're forced to practice a certain way, that you see, you have one treatment room, you see one patient at a time, you have to take this much time, you have to do the treatment the way your supervisor says you do. But when you get out into the real world, you have a lot of choices. And so sometimes it's good to think about that of, do I want to have one treatment room or multiple treatment rooms? Do I want to see one person at a time or multiple people at a time? Do I want to wear a white lab coat and have people call me doctor? Or do I want to be very casual and have people call me by my first name? And it's not like there's a right or wrong answer to that, but that can kind of give you some ideas about other things that need to happen. That, what size space do you need? Do I need to hire a front desk person, or can I just do online scheduling? Can I take insurance? If you're just seeing one person at a time, maybe it's not worth it to take insurance. If you plan on seeing 4 or 5 people at a time, then maybe you need a front desk person and maybe you need an insurance biller, and then you can take insurance. And it's not right or wrong. There are different ways to make it work, and you'll attract a different patient population. But that's kind of the cool thing, is you had to do it a certain way when you're in school. Once you graduate, you get to choose what your practice looks like.
Exactly.
But you need to have some clarity before you just dive into it.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And I think the kicker is, the one thing I could say that I wish that acupuncture school did, and I don't know if they do it now at PCOM, was instead of having so many times when you have to be, and this may be California board dictated to a degree, of when you're sitting and not really paying attention as an intern or an observer, or not even that, as an intern, as an observer, or an observer level 1 or observer level 15, whatever level that they put you at. One of those semesters, or at least an hour out of each of those shifts, you should have to sit in the scheduling room, like actually doing
just to get
admin,
some front desk experience.
Doing front desk admin, having that conversation with the patient on, oh, you're done with your session. Because I think if you hire someone, that way you can hear how the people in admin are talking to the patient. Oh, I need to have this training with my front desk. They need to understand that, no, I don't need you to hard sell them to come in every week. I need you to understand, like, this, being able to understand that you only understand by working in that field. And hearing it, because usually you're with your – if you're busy, you're with your patient. They come in. You treat them. You send them to your front desk. You don't know what BS the front desk person's telling them unless your patient has a wire and are telling you verbatim, because everybody remembers things a little differently. So I think that's something you learn being an admin.
Yeah, because I've had a lot of people say that, is that if they got some experience working in a clinic or being a front desk person, that experience was gold.
Yeah.
Not necessarily treating patients, but seeing how a practice is run and seeing how a business is run, that is very valuable experience.
Yeah. But yeah, the main thing is whatever practice you want to do is, we all have to take CPP, creating professional practice, or some type of thing. That's what they are. I think I was in massage school. That's what we called it, was CPP, is creating professional practice, whatever. Whatever the business classes.
We had a semester of practice management.
Yeah, practice management, I think, is the name of it for PCOM. But the main thing is find a successful acupuncturist and either shadow them if you can, even when you start out. And if I would suggest having some type of marketable skill that you're making money for while you're trying to build your acupuncture business.
Mm-hmm.
Because the realistic thing is you're going to graduate 6 months after that. If you took out student loans, you're going to have a student loan payment, and you are not going to be happy with yourself in that 6 months, and you're going to go be angry at what you went through all this hard work for, especially if you're practicing in California.
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing nationals and you got your national and then you're deciding to move to another state and it only takes you like a month to get your license there, awesome, incredible for you, congrats. But that's not what my reality was.
Yeah.
Even with creating my massage business, because I immediately had to make my massage business work. So then you get creative, you tutor if you're good at it, if you want to. You make bracelets, or you hustle. And I think that's the main thing is deciding you don't have to, and I think this is maybe one thing to leave it off on for you, is you don't have to work for yourself. You can make business in studying acupuncture and being passionate about the business without being a in-person acupuncturist, or maybe work for somebody. Yeah. There's tons of people who want to hire someone to work, and maybe you don't want to set down roots anywhere. Go ahead, get your license somewhere. And most states will give you a provisional license for up to 3 months.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And you could make it your practice to fill in for people that want to go on vacation, as long as you do good work.
Yeah. No, and I think like there are more salary positions nowadays than there used to be. And I think maybe it doesn't necessarily exist in California just because there are so many acupuncturists in California.
I think that's the big thing too.
But I do know people who are working for hospitals, who are making six-figure incomes working for hospitals as salary.
Yeah. And it's possible to do that. It's all in what makes you happy, and like follow your chi and what makes you happy and put that intention out there. Like for me, it's working on one patient at a time. I really like that one-on-one time. But yeah, thanks for having me. I highly enjoyed it.
If people want to find you, where can they find you online?
SmilingBuddhaBodywork.com. And if they want to follow me on Instagram, the best place, honestly, that's where I'm most active. Smiling Buddha, Smiling Buddha, BuddhaSD. So like S and D is in San Diego. But yeah, follow me on there. Feel free. And I usually post, do fun stuff. Log on, watch me on Instagram Live every once in a while. Say hi. But yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
For additional show notes and links related to this episode, go to podcast.tcmstudy.net/session4. Special thank you to the Patreon members for supporting this podcast, the website tcmstudy.net, and the YouTube channel. If you'd like to support this podcast and get early access to new episodes, you can go to tcmstudy.net and click on the Patreon link at the top. And special thank you to you for listening, so thanks, and we'll see you next time.